Knowledge is the fuel that powers intelligent buying and selling. So get a quick recharge with me, Ron Edwards, Master Sommelier and Director of Wine Education for Winebow, Fine Wine, and Spirits.
Welcome back to Wine Smart. Today we're going to talk about Valpolicella, a region that has had its moments of shining glory and needs a little attention from us today because not many people will look at it and realize that it has a red wine for just about everybody inside of this one location. So let's explore a little bit. First of all, it's in Veneto in northeast Italy. It is just north of the town of Verona. It's a few miles from Lake Garda, and it's bounded on the west by the Adige River, which separates Valpolicella from Bardolino. It's bounded on the east by the Ilassi Valley, which is actually shared by Suave and Valpolicella. In the north is the Monte Licini range, and Valpolicella itself sits in the foothills of that range. The foothills of the Monte Licini range form a bit of a fan, and Valpolicella sits on that fan, and the fan is fingers of hills and valleys running north-south. The vineyards tend to be planted on the hills, and those hills range in elevation but rise to a maximum height of 500 meters or 1,600 feet. When you are looking at the soils of Valpolicella, the lower to medium elevated hills are mostly glacial moraine. That means you have a mix of gravel and sand and clay left there when the glaciers melted and receded. In the upper levels, you have a limestone marl combination that is derived from dolomite limestone and clay. There is the outlier of the volcanic origin soils, specifically degraded basalt around the town of Marano. The overall climate of Valpolicella is temperate and mild, and that's due to a northern protection barrier of the Monte Licini range. So those cold winds that might come out of Switzerland are blocked. And the moderating effect of Lake Garda, which is a very large inland lake. The cooling effect of the vineyards in Valpolicella is from the downdraft coming out of the Monte Licini range, especially at night, which cools off the vineyards and maintains acidity in the heat of the summer. Valpolicella has three subzones. Two are official and one is unofficial. The first official subregion is Classica. We see it on labels as Classico, but when you put Valpolicella in front of that word, you change it to the feminine form, and therefore you have Valpolicella Classica. It's the furthest west. It has the longest history of high quality and reputation, and it is essentially the original region of Valpolicella before the boundaries were expanded. It's between the Adige River and the Valpantena Valley. It includes the Negrar, Marano, and Fumane Valleys, and the area surrounding the villages of San Pietro in Cariano and Sant'Ambrogio. The Valpantena subzone is just east of Classica. It's directly north of Verona, and it is currently gaining a reputation for high-quality, mineral, spicy wines. Something to definitely watch out for. Then there is the unofficial region of Valpolicella Orientale. This is pretty much the rest of the region. Orientale partially overlaps Suave in the Ilassi Valley and includes the Tramigna Valley, least known, but does have a few producers that are leading a movement to quality and a couple of iconic producers that you just don't know that's where they are because it's not an official label designation term, but great wine can be made there. All right, what about the grapes? The focus grapes of Valpolicella are Corvina, which can be 45 to 95% of the blend and brings aromatic complexity. Corvinone is the same thing, 45 to 95% of the blend. It brings tannin and structure. Rondinella is allowed to be 5 to 30% of the blend. Its magic or superpower is its resistance to fungal disease. So it is highly desired when you're making Ricciotto or Amarone because the appassimento process invites molds and fungal disease while it's drying. And so having that grape there as part of the process is a little bit of an insurance policy. Then after that, you have the auxiliary grapes, which can be up to 25% of a blend, but none of them can exceed 10% alone. And the one that pops up here that seems weird to folks like me who started studying wine a while ago is Molinara. It used to be one of the majors, and now it is relegated to auxiliary, having been declared by the locals as not as high quality. And that happened in 2003. Another grape that has been revitalized is Ossoleta. Then there is Negrara Veronese, Dindorella, Croatina, and Rossignola. Those are all grapes that are allowed to be blended in, but they are blended in minor proportions. Now let's address the appellations and styles of Valpolicella as a region. First of all, you just have the straight DOP. Valpolicella is what it says on the label. These are red wines of light to medium weight, made anywhere in the region. You'll see it labeled in potentially four different ways. Valpolicella, or what we would call Normale, has a minimum alcoholic strength of 11%. It has a minimum total acidity of 5 grams per liter, and it has no aging requirement. The next designation would be Superiore, and Superiore is not a geographic designation, it is a ripeness designation. It requires that the minimum alcohol by volume is 12% in the final wine, and it requires that you age the wine 1 year from January 1 following the harvest. You also will see a Valpolicella tied to Classico, which means it must have come from the Classica subzone, and Valpantena, which means it had to come from the Valpantena zone. The next designation is Valpolicella Ripasso, which was a traditional technique that was revived in the 1960s by Masi, and then other people started to use it, and now it's common across the region. What you do is you take freshly made Valpolicella that could be bottled in the previous description, and then you pass it through and leave it to sit with the vinace, the unpressed skins and lees of either Amarone or Recioto. We'll talk about those processes in a moment. What happens with these lees and skins is a re-fermentation starts with the fresh Valpolicella, which extracts a little more tannin, extra flavor, and just creates more oomph in the wine that would be fairly light and easygoing otherwise. You are also allowed to add up to 15% freshly made and vinified wine that could be called Amarone. There is also the allowance of adding a portion of semi-dried grapes. There is no specification in the law, just the fact that you can do it. These wines have a minimum of 12.5% alcohol by volume for the Normale bottling. If it says Superiore on the bottle, then it has to be a minimum of 13% alcohol by volume. Same total acidity as regular Valpolicella at 5 grams per liter. And all of these wines have a minimum of 1 year aging beginning January 1 following harvest. In practice, this is a bolder, more powerful version of Valpolicella with darker fruits added to that bright red cherry of traditional Valpolicella, but they're not huge traditionally. Now let's talk about Recioto della Valpolicella. We just talked about that term because it's part of the Ripasso process, so maybe we should have talked about it first. Recioto wines use the Italian process of appassimento, which has been around since Roman times, and this particular wine has been praised in one name or another since Roman times. In modern practice, the whole cluster is harvested, and then the clusters are laid on straw mats or in trays that could be made from wood or even plastic, and they are taken to these drying lofts that are either open air in the hillsides where the grapes can dehydrate naturally, but not on the vine where there's metabolic process going on. So what that allows is evaporation of water, concentration of sugars without a loss in natural acidity. The resulting grape must allows you to make a very rich, sweet red wine, which is great for cheeses and even desserts. You might see this wine bottled in the following ways. Normale, it just says Recioto della Valpolicella. Classico, Spumante, yes, they make a sparkling version. Valpantena, from that subzone, and Valpantena Spumante. The minimum residual sugar for these wines is actually described in a potential ABV of 2.8%, which generally ranges about 50 grams per liter. The minimum alcohol by volume in the final wine is 12%, and the grapes themselves must have been dried to reach a minimum potential alcohol of 14% to get started. In practice, it's much higher than that. And now let's get to what's most likely known as the king of the region in modern times, and that is Amarone della Valpolicella. Like many wines, this is a glorious accident. Before fermentation science was such a science, the final result of any wine was rather unpredictable. They were used to making the Recioto wines that I just described, and left unchecked, a fermentation vat of Recioto could ferment fully dry in the right mix of native yeast, temperature, and total residual sugar. You could get this wine that's completely dry. So these wines were originally sold as Recioto della Valpolicella Amarone, using a derivative of the word amare, which means bitter, so that Amarone would indicate to the consumer that this was not going to be a sweet wine. These wines start with the exact same methodology as Recioto, the appassimento process of air drying the grapes. It creates grapes with a potential alcohol by volume well over 14 in most cases, and it can introduce flavors and the effect of botrytis. Some producers avoid it, some producers embrace it. What botrytis will do is lower the tannin, elevate the volatile acidity, create aromatic complexity. Some people want those aromas, some people don't, and a richer mouthfeel. Traditionally, these wines were aged in large neutral Slavonian cask, but in the modern world, some people are using barrique. You may see this as Normale, Classico, Valpantana, or Reserva. It has a minimum alcohol by volume always of 14%. In practice, it's usually over 15. And a maximum residual sugar of 9 grams per liter, unless you go over 14%, in which case for every 0.1% of alcohol by volume increase, you get an allowance of 0.1 grams per liter residual sugar. If you go to 16% or above, you're allowed 0.2 grams per liter residual sugar added for every 0.1% ABV above 16. These wines can get to the point where there is noticeable residual sugar. The Normale minimum age is 2 years from January 1, and the Reserva is 4 years from January 1. Stylistically speaking, Valpolicella and its mates cover most of the range of red wine in the modern world. You have the fresh, vibrant, fruit-forward Valpolicella focused on cherry that any Pinot Noir fan will enjoy. You have the satin-textured Ripasso with prickly tannins, mix of compoted and fresh fruits, and a touch of power that will appeal to a fan of Malbec or Rioja. You have these powerful, intense, highly textured Amarone wines that want rich cheese or intensely textured savory foods. Then you have these sweet, unctuous Recioto wines offering raisins and chocolate and honey that are perfect for a powerful blue cheese or dark chocolate and dried fruit or as dessert on their own. Valpolicella is justly famous, and if you have not explored lately, it's time. Check out the show notes for links that will help you learn about and taste this region. Until next time.